everybody. Welcome to another episode on the Product Led Podcast. Today, we're going to be digging into this really cool topic, which is all about the three easy things you can do to make your org more effective. So if you want to get a lot more done without adding more headcount or anything else, these three things are really simple, super underrated, and you're going to be kind of scratching your head once you learn them and be like, why didn't they do some of these things before? Because it'll just save you a lot of time and help your team become a lot more effective, accountable. And you're also I'm going to get you to do a really cool, simple thing that's going to make you way more intentional with your time. So enough hyping it up. Here we have Laura, our director of content at Product Led. We're going to dive into this topic with you today.
Hi, Wes. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. This is part of the team component of the Product Led system. I feel that's my job every single week to announce that. So just want to make that clear. I'm really excited to hear about the last little task that you have for everyone, keeping it on the mystery going. So I would love to chat about how we can create an effective organization. And I kind of want to put a little summary of what this whole episode is about. And there's three key outcomes that we're going to be talking about today. And so what are those three key outcomes, Wes?
Yeah. So the first one is going to be, if you've been paying attention to some of the previous episodes about your accountability chart, but this one's going to be about how do you take it to the next level? So if you have accountability chart, you've mapped out all the seats, roles in your company, what do you do now? How do you really use less as a company and get the most out of it? So this is kind of first outcome. Second one is really just going through how do you build a set of actionable KPIs for each role to drive overall performance. So you want everybody in your team to know, are they doing a great job, bad job, or okay job? What does that look like? And then the last part is just how can you identify your next critical hire? And it's going to be a lot easier than you think with that exercise hype.
I love it. And before we even get to that, I want to hear this story that you brought up in our coaching call last week. And it was about a company, two companies, actually. Maybe you can just expand on that a little bit, because I think it's going to set the tone or set the stage for what's coming up and what you can actually get to.
Yes. So there is this story. It's a true story, but there's two different companies here. And what I'm trying to ask is, what is the main difference between a company that is at 4 million in annual recurring revenue with just 3 employees and one that has 30 plus employees? As we asked this in our coaching program, and we got a lot of different responses, but such as, you know what, the other one's a lot more capital efficient. There is a lot more, you know, advantage to the other company that has just 3 employees. They've delegated a lot of things to the product, whereas the other one's probably a lot more sales led. But at the end of the day, the core big differentiator here is one business here has a lot more leverage. So that's really where we're coming at. The perspective here is, how do we design an org chart and accountability chart that is really lean? And we can do a lot with a small, scrappy, elite team and get a lot done. So that's really what we're going for when we come to this. So there's really three core pieces of this, how we're going to break down. The first kind of step is we got to classify everyone on our accountability chart. The second thing we're going to do is just calibrate. What are those KPIs for everyone? And then, of course, we got to pick another series, chart out your next hire. So for the first one, did you want to dig into just how we classify everyone on the accountability chart, Laura?
Yeah, I think it'd just be good to explain maybe what stage we're at the accountability chart, what is currently mapped out on it. You would basically just have the team member and their role, correct? Or is there anything else that they would have on that accountability chart?
Yep. Yeah. So at this stage, they just have every single role built out where you've labeled who it is. And for instance, you might have somebody with 3 to 5 hats or something like that. Early stage company, we just map out everything you need for this company to operate and run on its own. And so you'll have that all out. Now, when it comes to classifying, this is where it gets kind of fun. So we have 4 different labels that we give people. So I call it the 4 T's. So the first T is label this yellow if it's a hat you wear, where it's something you feel you could trim. Where I'll give you an example as I kind of explain it. So for instance, in our company, Product Led, I'm wearing more of the product marketing hat right now because I actually do kind of enjoy writing the first draft, whether it's a new program page, a new book page, or anything like that. For me, that's fine, at least for the first part. And so what I've done to trim this is I can hire a contractor to do the majority of the heavy lifting to get that built out. And then I just do more of the reviewing to make sure, okay, everything's good, and then we can ship it. So that's an example of something where on your accountability chart, I would just label that as yellow, because that is something where you might say, you know what, today I have not trimmed this, but it's eating up too much of my time. So I need to find somebody to help me. It could be somebody on your team. It could be a contractor, could be a service, podcast service or something like that. But just think about what you could do to really trim that, get a lot more free time on your plate. And so the second label here to classify all these roles is trash. So is there any roles here where you could basically, it's like delete and it wouldn't impact the business? And so a lot of times in startups too, this does not actually mean you're like, okay, we fire this key critical hire in our business, but it might mean, okay, we have to say this person's doing five jobs. One of them isn't actually that critical to the business. So let's actually evaluate that and say, you know what, we've been doing social media ads for a while now, but let's stop doing it. No good leads have come from that. It's not worth our time. And so this is really important as you streamline your accountability chart to really just simplify this. And you'll find your existing team is thanking you because, oh my goodness, we were doing all this stuff and it just felt like a slog and it wasn't really driving good results. So that's the second thing. You're going to go through an accountability chart, simplify it, label those things red. The third thing is anything that is green is what I call treasure. So this is something where it's absolutely critical for the business to grow and to build your core product. So a lot of times when we talk to more product-focused CEOs and founders, this is they love building the product. That's what gets them excited. So a lot of times you do have to treasure that role because that is the unique thing the business is bringing into the world. And a lot of those other things that support it, they need to be either transferred or something off their plate so they can focus on that specific role. So label those critical roles green for yourself. And then the last label here is just transfer. So is there anything you could take off of your plate? This could be something that maybe you transfer to somebody else on your team completely, but that's the main difference between trim and transfer. Trim, you still own this job. Transfer, it's you delegated this job successfully. They know exactly how to do it. They have their own KPIs. They're measured on what that success is, and it's off your plate. So the goal here is by doing this with your accountability chart, you're able to really, within about 5 minutes, classify where you can save a ton of time. And you'll also be able to find some efficiency where you can delete things off your plate and your team's plate, more importantly, too, to save that time. So that's really the first step to making your org more effective.
And so this is a question that I think some business owners might face is they're staring at their org chart and they realize they just don't know if this is a job that should be trimmed or trashed or treasured. What advice would you give them in that sense when they just can't, they kind of feel paralyzed and, oh, I do really want to do this or I don't really want to trim this? How do you help them overcome that fear of, you know, letting go that job?
Yeah. And so I think when it comes to that fear of letting go, a lot of founders, and this is easy to do, is when you delegate things, you don't delegate right. And then it doesn't get done right. And then you're like, oh my goodness, there is, it's bad. It's hard to let go of things. And so the reason why in the next step too, we get really specific on what are those specific accountabilities is because we want to make sure we actually have the right standard operating procedures and everything else for this to really work, where it's, you can let go and know that it's going to get done really well to that same degree or if not better, or even maybe even if this was a little below, that's still better than you owning that plate with five other hats on your plate. So those are some of the quick things that could really help on that end.
Awesome. All right. So just to clarify, at the end of this stage, you should have an org chart that is definitely labeled with different colors.
Yes. Very colorful.
Okay. Awesome. Great. So the next step that you said was to calibrate, which means that everyone on the team has KPIs that they're accountable for. So did you want to kind of break down what that looks in and what KPIs you're actually talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my friends, Patrick Campbell from ProfitWall, introduced this to me. And ever since I heard it, I was like, oh, I'm hooked, because this is a really simple way of looking at how to manage everybody on your team and give KPIs that actually matter. Because a lot of times we hear like the one thing, give one number or something like that for accountability. It's okay, get as many, I'll give an example here. See, Catherine and I were just talking about this, where it was send this many outreaches per day is an example. Let's make it 1,000. And if nobody responds, is that a good metric to manage? You're only measuring the quantity side of things, but it's not the overall quality. So it's like, it doesn't matter. Did you book a meeting? Did they make a sale? What was the outcome of that? And so whenever you're thinking about any role on this entire accountability chart, you're going to make sure you have that quantity metric and a quality metric. And so in our coaching call, it was a really great question. Someone brought up, how do you do this for developers? What does that look like? How do you manage that? And so we brought up, hey, for quantity, that could be story sprints and really measuring in terms of those specific story sprints based on what everybody else in the development team thinks, how many story sprints that is. And so, and then quality is number of bugs or something else. And so there is, for any role, there's really a great way to kind of break it down into those two quantity, quality metrics. And if you've been paying attention to the previous podcast, we talked about part of that scorecard and the data components of what to build out. And so if you've already done that, that's actually where you're going through your scorecard and saying, okay, is there somebody accountable for each of these metrics? And then do they know what is that quantity, quality metric to support that? So that's really important when you break this down. And so that's kind of the big action items, just build this out and go through your entire accountability chart and make sure you have those specific quantity and quality metrics for every role.
Awesome. And I just want to get clarity between the company scorecard and the quality and quantity metrics. Should we be monitoring these metrics every week, every month? What is the cadence of that? Because we do have the scorecard that you're supposed to review every single week as a team. So where do these other metrics kind of fall in the spectrum of what you should be monitoring all the time?
This is where next level, but when you go to there's your leadership scorecard, that's where you keep up really cut and dry, high level metrics only that are really, really important for the business. So if you're talking to your directors at that level, they will usually have, whether it's their quantity or quality metric, one of those will be part of that leadership scorecard. Then maybe one of the others is it's on their, let's say for you, your content specific scorecard, or for the client success specific scorecard. It's something else that they would manage on that end. And so that's a really kind of simple way to still have that simplicity of that streamlined scorecard where you're not measuring 30 plus metrics. But then other times for some roles, it might just be, okay, this is their own leading indicator that they measure, and that tracks up to how many things of that leading indicator they do that track back to that quality metric of that lagging indicator that we have on that scorecard.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's helpful. All right, so then when it comes to the next of the three C's, we've got the chart. I'm curious what this means, and I feel we're getting closer to this task that you have your founders to do. So tell me about chart and what that means.
Yes. So when I say chart your next hire, there's a lot of charting involved as far as this exercise. So I'll share my own perspective. So for the last, I would say about 6 years, I've been at intermittent times doing time tracking. And the first time I heard about it, I was like, no, please no. Only in my expectation of time tracking, I had this really bad belief where I'm like, no, only hourly workers or contractors or freelancers, maybe the lowest rung, they have to track time and all that stuff. Why would a business owner do that? I am so a puppet. This is so stupid. Whatever the belief was, I had a terrible mindset around time tracking. And once I tried it, I was like, oh, I'm hooked. This is actually really useful. And all that insight was so helpful because I started to realize, where did I actually invest my time? And when you compare your life versus somebody else's life or whatever, all the difference is usually is how did they invest their time? And some people are really fantastic at investing their time in different things. And so when you start to do that and monitor, okay, what am I doing every 15 minutes and writing it down? Initially, I have literally just a pen and paper kind of going down every single 15 minutes. And that was really, really helpful. And now there's great sites, clockify.me, where you can just, in their great free plan, track exactly what you do. And then if you categorize it, you can see at the end of the week, where did you invest most of your time? And so why this is so relevant to identifying your next hire is because a lot of times founders will make the mistake of hiring a new role. Let's say they read something about a growth hacker or a growth marketer. Like, oh, I think we need one of those. And so then they hire them and then it's not a good fit, all those things. But a really great way to do this is you look at where are you actually spending your time? And for instance, for myself, I was spending about 10 to 15 hours per week preparing for workshops and client communications, all those things. And so when I started to look at the math of, hey, if I swapped out that time with more of our one-on-one engagements, that could easily be another $1 million of annual recurring revenue for product-led. And so I was like, we need to hire this role. And it gave me the confidence to say, you know what, we need to hire somebody for client success. And so that is a really important way of looking at this. And then when you do that, you're actually, this person does have that time allocated. This is a, you know, a role, is not just something I think could work. And so it's a really simple way to buy back your time and really chart out what is that next hire without making a lot of those mistakes.
Awesome. And I actually think that this is really helpful for not just the founder, but for everyone probably on your leadership team, just because it really does help them understand where they are spending their time and if they can delegate any tasks to someone else. I know for myself, when I did it, I realized that I was spending a lot, not as much time on my main priority that I should have been. And so then I definitely made some adjustments to that. So this task, I think that it can be frustrating at times to remember that you need to track your time, but it actually does have a great outcome at the end if you can stick through it and actually see that where you're putting all your energy into it. Do you have any final words about how to make an effective organization?
Yeah. And I think back to what you mentioned too, it doesn't just have to be the founder that does this, the rest of the team does this. This will actually help you build out that accountability chart a lot faster, keep it more up to date, because you can always go back and review if you all use the same tool and see, oh, actually, Laura, you're spending way more time there. Maybe that could be another role or something like that, or it could be something else where it's like, okay, maybe we trim that or get somebody else to help you in that specific area so you can focus more on your priority. So it's a really good coaching tool as well for the rest of your team, but then it helps you manage, okay, what is the activity flow going to the rest of the company? And so you can help everybody move a lot faster. And just from my own experience using this, since I know people are still listening, they're like, I'm never going to do time tracking, Wes, but it will make you a lot more intentional with your time. And I think that's one of the most underrated things too, because before you click start, at least this is how I use it, I kind of type in, okay, this one I'm going to be working on. And that now gives me the task of what I need to do. And then when I'm done and I click stop, it's okay, maybe I take a little break, whatever. But then when I go back again, I do the same thing. And so it just helps you get that laser focus versus kind of being like ad hoc about it. And like, I'm just going to plug in my 4 hours here, take a break after kind of thing. That's a little more passive. But when you're actively engaged on time tracking, it gives you that 10x kind of focus.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I find that's true. Very much so. Especially when you look at it in little increments too. You're like 15 minutes, 30 minutes. I'll give myself to do that. So at least for writers anyway, it's like, okay, I'll give myself a 30-minute block to do this task. And that's it. And so you end up getting your task actually done anyway. For me, myself, that's how it's worked.
Just to recap, start with the very first thing, label those based on those four classifications, whether you need to trim, trash, treasure, or transfer your specific roles. Then to calibrate, break it down. Every single role should have two KPIs. One is the quantity metric. That's more usually it's a leading indicator. Then your quality metric is a lagging indicator, usually. Not always. But then the last step is just chart out your next hire. So start with the time tracking today and really help yourself identify where are you investing your time, so you can then figure out back to the four T's. What do you trim, trash, treasure, or transfer on your ads? Hello, everybody. So we have this new program that's kicking off in May. And I'm super excited to tell you more about it because we have gone through this once with a small kind of select group of companies.
And the results have been amazing just to see companies getting a lot more clarity, taking action on how they're building a product-led business. So if you're looking to get to 7 or even 8 figures in your self-serve revenue and you're committed, you're serious about actually building a product-led business, this is truly for you. So what this is all about is basically, how do we help you get a lot more effortless ARR in your business so you can build a product and sell itself for your business? 2, how can we actually scale the lean way in your business? So how do we build a big business with a tiny team? And the last kind of core outcome of this program is all about durable growth. So how do we scale your profits every single year like clockwork? And so how we do that is really by implementing the product-led system in your business. So there's really 3 core phases to this madness. The first one is we actually go through and build a solid product-led strategy for your business, where we go through, understand exactly who your ideal user is, exactly what we need to give away for free. We're not guessing. We are truly understanding your users and serving them better. Once we build that strategy, then what we can do is build a world-class go-to-market motion where we look at your ideal offer, make it irresistible. We make it effortless to sign up, get to value, upgrade in your product, make it really, really easy to build that product that sells itself. And then lastly, what we focus on is how to actually scale this up, where we look at the right data, the right growth process in your business and the team. And so what makes this program super unique is it's not just a bunch of videos. I wish it could be that easy to deliver, but it's not. What we found is best to actually help your team get results, which is all we care about here at Product Led, is this is a team-only program, meaning you can only sign up with your team and yourself. And it's designed that way so you can get everybody on your team to help you implement this, because we truly believe here at Product Led, to build a product-led business, it is truly about involving everybody, changing the mindset in how you approach it. So if you want more details, head on over to productled.com/academy, and you can join the waitlist. And we will be opening up the enrollment for this very shortly for a limited amount of time. So please head on over to there if you're interested, because this cohort kicks off beginning of May. Hope to see you in the program.